Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, the Baker Mayfield situation is still ongoing. He is still a member of the Cleveland Browns. Have we reached the point with him where teams are waiting on a release? How likely do you think a trade still is between the Browns and an interested party for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, what's interesting is, you know, so I'm in Palm Beach, and you talk to a lot of different teams, and there's definitely interest in him. I don't think there's any question that if he were a free agent commodity, there'd be quite a few teams that would be interested in talking to him, whether it's, you know, a one-year window with him, a two-year window. But everybody's sort of sitting there going, yeah, they're in a bad situation there. We're just going to wait until they release him. And the thought process from the team sort of looking at the Browns is that Baker will make it difficult, and everybody believes that the Browns are going to sit there and go, you know, we're not going to deal with this awkwardness. You know, Baker Mayfield's very active on social media. He's been outspoken. His reps are outspoken. At some point, the Browns are going to get tired of it and walk away, especially considering they've clearly committed to not only Deshaun Watson as their starter, but Kevin Stefanski is coming out and talking about a potential suspension with Deshaun Watson. And he focused that through Jacoby Brissett, preparing Jacoby Brissett to you know, start if Deshaun Watson were not able to go. And so, you know, I think there's a thought process amongst some teams that the Browns could kind of go down the route they did with Odell Beckham Jr., which was to say, look, we're willing to release you, but we got to work out something on the guaranteed money end. We don't want to pay your entire salary. If you want to go, let's work something out so you can hit free agency and get out there and pick a team or whatever. But from a trade standpoint, you know, a few teams mentioned, hey, if they want to pay the vast majority of the salary, maybe there's a trade asset there to be had. It would probably be a late-round pick at best. There's just not – the only way the Browns get out of this with anything from Baker Mayfield is if something occurs to create a market for him out there with other NFL teams. And right now that hasn't happened. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how this goes. And the 49ers are in a similar boat with Jimmy Garoppolo as well. Just not a market there. And even some teams that are quarterback needy are sort of like, you know, hey, we're fine. We'll wait and see. And we'll keep looking at these quarterbacks in the draft.
Well, let's stick with Browns quarterbacks. Charles, what did you think of Deshaun Watson's presser?
Not great. You know, I mean, I thought it was about as good as it could have been regardless. It was not going to be an easy thing for the Browns. Any team that acquired him, I think, you know, it was interesting talking to a few of the teams that missed out what their thoughts were once they actually saw that press conference, knowing that that's sort of what they would have gone through. And they all kind of shrugged and said, yeah, you know, that's pretty much what you were signing up for. You knew that, when this unfolded, there were going to be a lot of difficult questions, a lot of uncomfortable questions, and you were going to have to talk about your process in terms of vetting Deshaun Watson, and there weren't a lot of great answers there, particularly considering, I know the Browns weren't the only team that were advised, hey, don't reach out to the, you know, these women that have filed these civil suits because it could come off as you're bullying them or, you know, you're stepping into this litigation in a way that could influence them or make them feel a certain way about pursuing these cases with, you know, against Deshaun Watson. And you just don't want to become a part of that process or meddle with it. And so it sounds like when the Browns said, hey, we tried to use third party unbiased, resources to try and get a feel for what was going on with the civil cases. I think other NFL teams did the same thing. Just felt like we can't go down that road. We're going to have to, you know, outsource it, and it's not a great way to handle it. But, you know, beyond just the press conference, I think the biggest thing is when you go around and look at other teams, I mean, they're all upset about the $230 million in guaranteed money. Probably the most interesting thing about the football end of this was when this all started and the civil suits were filed, and we're talking over a year ago here, people were thinking, well, Deshaun Watson is this distressed football asset, and there's going to be an element of getting a discount for sort of a damaged goods player, not to be insensitive here, but that's how teams were looking at him from a football aspect. There was no discount here. It was the opposite. There was no distressed asset here. It was the opposite. The Browns paid full price for him in trade, and then they gave him a contract that's, you know, going to warp a lot of other elite quarterback negotiations. So pretty remarkable the way that it's gone down, and we have yet to, you know, hear really where the NFL is at with their investigation. I still think there's a chance that Deshaun Watson doesn't see the football field in 2022, or at least a large portion of it, or maybe he does and then misses part of 2023. There's definitely there are events in the future that are going to weigh pretty heavily on Deshaun Watson being on the football field.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, what do you make of what the Titans have done this offseason? Harold Landry back, Julio Jones out, Robert Woods in, Austin Hooper in at the tight end position. When you look at the Titans and just what they brought back to the table compared to the rest of the AFC, what do you think of the spot that Mike Vrabel and company are in right now?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, I think, you know, Julio going out and being replaced by Robert Woods, you know, obviously there's a timeline there with the injury recovery, but the Rams loved Robert Woods. I mean, they were, that is a guy that it was not a great day for them when they knew he was no longer going to be in the fold. They meant, you know, he meant a lot to them. He did a lot of little things on offense, a lot of big things, obviously, that, you know, statistically everybody noticed, but he was also a small details guy that they really valued a lot. And, you know, I think they were bummed to have to go down that road with him. But economically, when they looked at things and how they wanted to structure the rest of the offseason, it made the most sense. They're still trying to get Odell Beckham Jr. in the fold. So it wasn't, you know, it was a negative for the Rams, which I think is a positive for the Titans. You always want to pick up players that other franchises value and just sort of feel like there's a fork in the road and there's not really much that they can do about it. So, you know, I think that's good for the Titans. We'll see what he looks like health-wise. I thought Austin Hooper was interesting too, because I had a chance to talk to somebody with the Browns yesterday about him, and, you know, they're just like, look, he's not a bad football player. Like, we still think the potential's there for him to realize what we thought he could be when we brought him in, after, you know, he started his career with Atlanta. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't connect in Kevin Stefanski's offense. It didn't connect with Baker Mayfield. And, you know, they kind of felt like we have to make a decision here financially. I think if they could have reworked the money a little bit, there was a chance that he might have remained there, and that just wasn't going to happen. So I think that's another good thing that, you know, you don't hear the Browns just completely saying like, hey, it was just a disaster and a huge mistake. They were just like, you know, for a litany of different reasons, it didn't work out. And by the way, Austin Hooper wasn't the only offensive player it didn't work out with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. So, you know, I think that's a positive. I'll tell you what though, I think right now, what I'm thinking about as a Titans fan is the wide receiver money, because I just, John Robinson's got to be sitting there going, man, this is, you know, we got a kid in our building who's, you know, really right on the cusp of being an absolute elite level wide receiver. I expect we'll climb into the sort of that echelon this season. And every team with a wide receiver that's on that elite level, I'm talking top five, six, seven guys, are all sitting there going, these are now $25 million players. These are $27 million players or $28 million players. I know some people are saying, well, what's the real money look like? All these different things. I'm just telling you, it's what has happened with Davante Adams and then Tyreek Hill behind it. What happened with Christian Kirk and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, it has dramatically altered how wide receivers are going to get paid in this game. So a lot of teams are going to have to make difficult decisions. And I think if you're the Titans and you're John Robinson, you're like, we got to get ahead of this as quickly as we can, or maybe it's already too late. That's where the interesting thing is with the Chiefs. It was just too late. Like, I think they thought, we're going to get Tyreek Hill back for $21 million a year, maybe 21 to 22, right in that range. And then the Davante Adams deal dropped, and it was just like, wow, this has changed everything. We waited too long. Realistically, they probably should have tried to get that thing done, you know, maybe a month earlier than they really did.
Yeah, and then you got the Jags and their GM Super Dave just throwing out ridiculously dumb money for people who shouldn't. You know, so that helps the market a lot. I mean, AJ Brown immediately had a gift for that deal.
Yeah, and it's the thing is too, like, you don't the Browns. This is always true in the NFL where you have teams of desperation, and sometimes it's not like the entire organization's desperate. Sometimes it's you're desperate for just a quarterback. So in the Browns situation, what they do for Deshaun Watson, it was because right up to ownership, everybody was desperate to resolve quarterback. So you warp the market with what you do with Deshaun Watson. For the Jaguars, they're desperate just to get anybody in the door. So, you know, I have a guy there and we talked and I said, hey, you know, this is going down really negative, these deals you signed. And do you understand? He's like, look, got to get people in here. Like, we have to have pieces for Trevor Lawrence. And so we got to overpay right now until we're established and good and Trevor turns that corner. We're going to have to pay a lot of money, and that's going to hurt other teams in the league. But they're just kind of like, what can we do about it?
Well, they could draft people, but, you know, hey, whatever. I mean,
thought. I totally understand that. And trust me, there's a lot of wide receivers that are going to be drafted and replacing a number of good players. Like, I we're sitting here right now, we're like, you know, there's no way A.J. Brown could ever, you know, they're not going to let him go. You know, Deebo Samuel, they're not going to let him go. Okay, sure, right. I mean, I thought that about Tyreek Hill. You know, that dramatically changes what's great about the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Thought that about Davante Adams. I mean, those are two wide receivers who were unbelievably suited to the quarterbacks that were, you know, upper echelon quarterbacks and elite level quarterbacks, and yet look what happened. So don't think that it's a guarantee that something gets done with your guy. I think that's a mistake. I think a lot of teams are weighing that out right now.
Well, and this is why, Charles, as I look to the draft of the Titans, I'm not willing to rule out that this is their attempt at getting their next QB. You know, like if they love, say, a Desmond Ridder, who they will have the best intel on of any team in this draft, right, based on Vrabel and Fickell's relationship. I guess my question for you on that would be, you know, I don't know, we did a beat writer mock draft, The Athletic, and one QB went in the first round. Yeah. I just can't buy that that's actually going to happen. Is that actually going to happen?
No, I don't think. I think it's interesting, too, that you bring up Ridder, because he is definitely someone that teams like him. You know, they like the makeup there. They kind of like what he has going for him. I'll be honest with you, I haven't done a ton of draft work up to this point, free agency and every other thing that's been going on this offseason has been too crazy. But I have heard him from a couple of teams as I've asked them to, like, hey, kind of square this out. There seems to hate this quarter, the entire quarterback class. There are teams that are kind of like, yeah, there will be an overspend for a player. And then there are others that are like, hey, we do this where we think we have the quarterback class nailed down, and then it turns out we don't at all. But Ridder's one that, you know, I think it's pretty interesting you bring him up, because he is one that some teams I respect from a quarterback evaluation standpoint really like what he brings to the table, and sort of the leadership mentality and some of the things that he's been able to accomplish in that program and the teams he's been able to compete with. As far as only one quarterback going in the first round, I'm just telling you, like, Carolina, they're going to do something at quarterback. Okay. And I think if Baker Mayfield were to become a free agent, that's a team that would look at him amongst many, many other teams. But I sit there and I'm like, I feel like when Matt Rhule says, yeah, I think there could be a top 10 quarterback, part of me wonders if he's sort of laying the groundwork for, well, we might take a quarterback in the top 10. So we have to make sure that, you know, people aren't, you know, I'm not out here saying, no, I don't think there's a top 10 quarterback, and then all of a sudden we take one. So I would be stunned if there's not a quarterback that goes somewhere near the top of, you know, top 10, 12, 15 picks. And then I think as you get down to the bottom of the first round, you're going to have teams that sit there and go, okay, well, we could use a quarterback, and this gives us a fifth-year option. If we take him now versus a round later or a few picks later, if you're like Detroit sitting there with that Rams pick, aren't you sitting there saying, well, let's just get the quarterback now. That way we have the fifth-year option, which is very, very important nowadays, you know, to have that little bit of leverage for us if we have a quarterback that we want to develop. So it's, I don't know, man. It's a weird draft, and there's so much disagreement across the board, even at the top. That's what's remarkable to me, is that you even teams weighing out, like, the best tackles. Everybody has their sort of flavor of you know, the player they like at one, you know, two, three, five, whatever. It's pretty crazy how little agreement there is, even at the very top rungs of the draft. There are teams that don't even like Aiden Hutchinson. Like, this is a guy who goes first in the draft. Like, there are teams that are like, yeah, we have him like near the bottom. You know, he's probably like, you know, tier 20 to 30. You know, on our overall board right now. Now, no, and by the way, none of these boards are set completely at this point at all. But it's definitely, I'm just telling you, I had one AFC GM, he said to me, the good thing about this draft is if you have a bunch of picks in the top 60, there's a lot of similarities between guys you might get at 10 and 50. You know, so if you have a bunch of picks in the top 60, great, you're probably going to get a lot of kind of comparable players from a talent level standpoint. He said, but if you're a team like, you know, we were talking about Detroit, he was like, Detroit's sitting there too. He's like, it's not the year to have two. He's like, because, you know, if it's not Hutchinson and that's your guy, you're staring at, you know, 10, 12, 15 players that might have similar evaluations anywhere from, you know, 2 to 15 on their board. So it's going to be a wild one. I there's a lot of predictions about just total surprises coming in this draft.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always. Enjoy that Palm Beach weather, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, beach time. Our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right. You'll get $150 in bonus sack credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket's up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I like Duke to take down Carolina this week. I like Villanova to win against Kansas as well, but you take it any way you want to take it. Hey, just join FanDuel today with promo code ROB. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. .1025 The Game has one final chance for you to win with our 4-team game bracket challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. The game bracket challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, going to join us at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they take on the Ottawa Senators coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. And it was interesting, Joe. He was talking in that last answer about, you know, talking to an AFC general manager saying, if you got a lot of picks in the top 60 this year, probably a pretty good time for that. And I'm thinking about the Titans right now. They have one pick in the top 60 this year. Their first round pick, no second rounder for the Titans at this point. Tough time.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. Better than, as Charles laid out, the Motor City Kitties get the number 2 pick in a year when it may as well be the number 21 pick. But hey,
okay.
I'm sure the roar is being restored.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because you know, you've got Malik Willis, who is surging up draft boards and is starting to look like he's going to be the first quarterback that's being taken. And in a lot of mock drafts that I'm seeing right now, they've got him going 6 to Carolina. So we'll see if that's true or not. But if you're a team like the Lions, and right now Jared Goff is your quarterback, like, I get it, you could be in a worse situation than Jared Goff. But like, if you love Malik Willis at that position, would you not think about taking him at number 2 if you're the Lions? I sure would.
Oh yeah, if you love him, for sure. Yeah. Then you're good. You're set. But if you prefer Ritter or Corral or Baby Hands, you know, then you're stuck there probably with that pick. If you don't love Malik Willis, what you want is, you want the Panthers to think you're about to draft Malik Willis and then go get another pick and bail out of 2, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for. But yeah, I mean, it's very simple if you do love him. If that's who you want to be your quarterback of the future, it's very simple.
I don't see anybody having him going there. I guess it's like, there's nobody that I've seen that has the Lions taking a quarterback at number 2.
And see that, and that's where the pre-draft buildup, you just have to be careful. Now, I think what that could tell you is that there are people in the organization who are truthfully saying that just, he's not our guy. But it also could be misinformation, because he is their guy. Now, you know, for the Lions to pull out something like that, you know, that'd be almost as amazing as winning a playoff game, but it's possible.
Look, a lot of things going right for the Lions this week. They've gotten Hard Knocks coming up this year. The draft in 2024 will now be in the city of Detroit, edging out Green Bay. Packers Twitter, very upset about this. It's a big win for Detroit this week.
That's right. It is a big week for Detroit. And yes, good call on Detroit. That'll be a fun draft. I mean, I love cheese curds, but that'll be a much more fun draft than it would have been in Green Bay. I saw some Green Bay Twitter yesterday. Like, they were lamenting I guess because they lost one of their home games this year is London, right? So this is going to make up for that. But I mean, it's in 2024. So, you know, I mean, figure it out, man. Charge more money.
Yeah.
Concessions.
Stock sale. I'll buy it this time.
It's about time. It's about time you were an owner of this team that you love. You know, I'm here for that. But yeah, look, I agree with Charles on just the, it's just, like, there's no way, right? Like, teams that are, if a team that likes one of the other guys and they're all still there late, then it totally makes sense to move in the first round. So this could benefit the Titans if they aren't one of those teams. And I still think it's way more likely they don't get a quarterback than likely that they do. And if they are a team that has no interest, well, maybe that 26th spot could be something they could bail out of for somebody who wants to grab a Ritter or a Corral or whoever that they think might, you know, they need to move into that spot to get. So I think the trade down is, if the quarterback group is going to fall that far, as everyone seems to think, then the trade out of that spot and other spots late in the first round, that the likelihood certainly increases.
It's also going to be interesting to see if what Charles was talking about in the last segment takes place and Baker Mayfield is ultimately just released by the Browns. I'm interested to see what the market for him looks like as well.
Yeah. Seattle, Carolina. I mean, these are the two obvious teams.
There's rumblings that the Bucs could be interested in him being the backup if he's released. I'm serious.
And Baker being Brady's backup?
Yes. That'd be something.
How much are they paying Baker?
I don't know.
Maybe Baker will take a tiny deal just to learn from the master.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
He's a very respectful young man who respects his elders.
He does. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they host the Ottawa Senators later tonight. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
What's up, guys? Just pulling in the Bridgestone here.
Nice. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, C-Mace. So, obviously, big opportunity tonight for the Predators. 2 points on the line against Ottawa. What did you make of the way they played against Philly the other night, and where do you think their game is as a whole right now as they head into this game against Ottawa?
I think it's getting to a good place. I like the effort last game against Philadelphia. I thought the first period was good. There was a couple breakdowns that ended up in the back of the net, but I felt good about the way that they were playing. They were obviously the better team, I think, for 95% of that game. Unfortunately, Philly was very opportunistic. There's still some breakdown things that I would like the guys to get taken care of in the defensive zone and take a little bit of those high danger scoring chances out of the equation. But I thought as the game went on, I thought their best period was the third period. I thought they really shut it down. They started protecting the middle a lot better. And offensively, I thought they did a really good job of generating the way that they want to generate in that way that they can with getting on the forecheck, and especially that second line starting to generate chances in the middle of the ice opposed to perimeter kind of stuff. And but that Luke Cunning goal was absolutely huge for him in that line, because, you know, offensively they've been struggling, even strength. Granny's getting his points on the power play, but 5-on-5, that line has lacked production in the last 20 games or so. So they looked really good, and I thought they got that goal, and I thought Granny was awesome too. So that was big for me.
Teammates, where do you think UC Saros is right now? Do you think that the heaviest workload of his career is wearing on him at all? Do you think that maybe like a rest today, for example, might benefit him?
Yeah, they're going to manage the rest. I mean, they'll take care of the off days, and I'm sure it's an ongoing conversation. I'm sure that has something to do with it, and you know, there hasn't really been any hiccups in his game. And, you know, you come to a part of the season where he looks human, and it's not like he's letting in bad goals. It's just he's not, you know, saving the day. And, you know, Murphy's Law will take care of that. And I think some of that has to do with the way the guys are defending, and some of it has to do with, you know, just one of those stretches of the season. I felt last game against Philly and maybe, you know, last couple of games, you know, he's had trouble finding the puck through traffic. There's been a lot of scramble situations where he just seems like, you know, earlier in the season he was finding those pucks through those difficult situations. And it's just the ebbs and flows of a season for a goaltender. Sometimes, you know, you're going to get the fortunate bounce. You're not going to see the puck and it's going to hit you. And sometimes it's going to go off two shin pads in the back of the net, or there's two guys in front of you and you can't find it. And it hits that corner, that empty space. It's in the back of the net. So I'm not too concerned, but I definitely do think, to your point, Joe, that rest is going to be absolutely crucial down the stretch, because they're in a good spot, I think, playoffs-wise. You can't mess around, you know, too much, I guess, with, you know, the rest situation, but you have to monitor it, and it has to be. I know it's, you know, a big thing for the coaching staff is to make sure they get, you know, those breaks in there for them, because you know, if you want to do anything in playoffs, you need Saros absolutely fresh. You can't ride him, all the way down the stretch. He's had an extremely busy workload. So I know that's something they're very conscious of.
Chris Mason on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, what do you make of the Norris Trophy discussion with Yossi and McCarr and Hedman and Fox and all these guys? Obviously, we watch Roman Yossi play on a nightly basis. He's about to break the single-season franchise points record. He could end up with 100 points this year as a defenseman, which is just absurd. Overall, when you factor in the entire discussion, what do you make of the Norris Trophy race at this point of the season?
Well, I think, you know, it's all about the narrative. I think, you know, it's so tough to change up. I think it is changing. I think, you know, let's say the midpoint of the season, I think everybody just handed it to McCarr. It was Cale McCarr's award. He's got all the goals. He's an unbelievable player. He's having a Norris Trophy caliber season. You know, if these guys are having these seasons in any different years, they're both going to win the Norris Trophy. Unfortunately, they're going toe-to-toe right now. They both got some unique elements and special things about them. that you could make arguments for. But I think you see recently, you know, people starting to talk about Roman Josi, and now he's the favorite because of what he's doing. And I think, you know, and I try to take bias out of it because everybody's like, oh, you work for the Predators and this and that. We've been through this with Josi before. We've been through it with Pekka. You try to take the bias and the fact that you watch the guy every single night, because I can see how easy, you know, it is to get caught up in your own guys. But when you take a step back and you start doing side-by-side comparisons and a lot of the, you know, other elements, other aspects of just the points, you know, you really can see the value. And we've had other broadcasters come up to Willie and I and say, wow, you know, I had Makar pegged for sure until, you know, I watched you guys do a side-by-side and I didn't look at that aspect of it, or I didn't look at that side of the analytics part. So that's to me what separates Josi. And then if you want to go offense, I mean, there's just no question that he's the best all-around defenseman in the league right now. I think Hedman is awesome. He can almost win every year. Fox has obviously come on the scene, won last year. But I think it's a two-man race, and I think right now I really find it difficult to pick anybody than Josi. You could make an argument. I even asked Roman himself, and he said, you know what? He goes, Makar is unbelievable. He said, I wouldn't be upset if he won it. He deserves to win it this year as well. But to me, I think, especially with what he's doing right now, and you look at those numbers, and, you know, he's doing things. He's broken an assist record in March that he just broke Bobby Orr's record. And some of the names that he's up there with right now, in the season that he's having, a historic campaign. So as of now, if the season were to end today, to me, he's a no-doubt winner of the Norris Trophy.
Chris, what do you think of Jeremy Lauzon so far? And what do you think is the ideal six as this team moves, you know, into the crunch time and then into the postseason if they get there?
Well, I think he's been good. I mean, you know, it's tough. He's coming to a new team. I think he's going to fit in. I still feel, you know, you're playing with different partners. I see some, you know, maybe communication and chemistry things out there that could get better and will get better as the more he plays. But, you know, he definitely, I feel defensively, he's hard to play against. He's physical. He doesn't try to do anything, you know, out of his skill set. And right now he's keeping it simple and straightforward. You know, like Hines would want with that. And I know John Hines likes to pair, you know, maybe one puck mover with more of a defensive-minded defenseman. And, you know, he's playing with Ekholm now. So that's allowing Ekholm to be a little more offensive. I think when him and Carrier are together, they're great. But Ekholm also has to keep in mind that Carrier is going to get in the rush. And, you know, so you have some of that kind of balance. And I feel right now Ekholm's playing, you know, some unbelievable hockey because, you know, he's afforded – you know, the flexibility to jump in a little more. And Lauzon is that defensive mind guy who's going to stay back. And, you know, so I feel that's a good fit right now. But at the end of the day, the fix going forward, I think, is they need everybody healthy back then, you know, when they have their top four. And, you know, maybe Lauzon right now is playing a little above his minute range. I know he played, you know, a bunch in Seattle, 15 to 20 minutes a game in that 18 kind of minute range, so he's capable of pulling down those minutes. But when you get into the 20 plus, you know, that's something that, you know, few guys can do. And, you know, they had the good thing going there with the top four, but I think they're doing okay. And I really like Jeremy Davies as well. I think he's got that escapability in the corners where you can shake guys off and, you know, tight turn and get that puck moving out of the zone. So I like that back there. And then again, you have Benning, who's more of a defensive minded guy. So I feel right now they've got good balance, but ideally you'd maybe like Lauzon down on that third pair.
Chris Mason, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealers. See, Mace, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us and have fun on the broadcast tonight.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. It is interesting, like watching Willie and C-Mace and the team on Valley Sports, like break down some of the numbers between Josi and Makar. This is going to be quite the race coming down the stretch. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit yesterday on Preds Insiders, but, you know, how much does where they are in the standings factor into this conversation? Like, how much does Makar and the Avalanche basically being number one all season long, how much does that factor in? I think it does factor in some.
No question. And Hedman and, you know, Lightning are, you know, we know what the Lightning are. So And look, it's look to his point. I'm glad that he laid it out like that because, hey, announcers who watch Fox every night, you know, what, I mean, I'm sure they're saying, well, how is he not getting more notice? You know, you're going to have a certain element of that, but I think you can objectively step back from this thing and look at, as he said, I mean, historic numbers. I think triple digits is going to be a necessity for Roman Josi to have a shot here. But again, 3 points tonight. There you go. You got to you break Bobby Orr's month record, stuff like that. I don't see how you couldn't step back now if you really are trying to figure out who should win this and say that Yossi's in the top two. And then, you know, if it gets to that, then maybe in the final month it becomes interesting, and it becomes a discussion too, a discussion of, okay, this isn't just, you know, Makar's year. There's actually like two guys who are having outrageous years.
We'll continue the discussion. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, 40 years ago today, the legend of Michael Jordan was born. Hits the game winner in the national title game 40 years ago today on March 29th, 1982 against Georgetown.
Good stuff in New Orleans, by the way.
Wow.
The Final Four in New Orleans, which has been a regular Final Four spot, which Nashville may soon become. But yes, you think about that time of college basketball, you had, James Worthy and Sam Perkins. And on the other side, you had Patrick Ewing, guys who stayed in college for 4 years before going on to the NBA. I mean, college basketball was so loaded with great players who didn't even really think about going early. Kind of wild to think about. Another thing about that shot by Jordan, I think it came with like, I don't know, like 20 seconds left or something. I think some people think it was a buzzer beater. It was like there was a lot of time left. Great shot, won the game. Of course, that game also ended with Fred Brown of Georgetown. Well, it did. You can shake your head, but it ended with Fred Brown of Georgetown throwing the ball to the wrong team and losing it. And so Georgetown never got its own chance at a final shot.
One thing you can always count on with Joe Rexroad, whether it be Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, he will find a way to take credit away from those two guys.
Yeah,
he will find a way to do it.
What are you talking about? I'm telling you the facts. Anyone who watched that game, I mean, that's like a extreme – I mean, that's a heartbreaking thing for Fred Brown of Georgetown. It's one of the most famous gaffes in sport history. So I'm not taking credit away from Michael Jordan. Great. I mean, he was a freshman who hit the winning shot. I mean, I got all credit to my job. I'm just giving you the facts of the game, man. Fred Brown, look it up. Poor
Joe
guy.
Joe Rexroad, the only person in America that would rather have Tyler Hansborough over Michael Jordan on his basketball team and would rather have Dan Fouts over Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Wait, what did I say about Tyler Hansborough?
You didn't. I thought of a random North Carolina player.
I'm like, I did watch. I did, though. Let's see. What would this be? Exactly 13 years ago, I did watch that North Carolina team with Tyler Hansborough beat Michigan State 8-2 in an NCAA championship game in Detroit. Maybe we can ask Izzo about that tomorrow.
Yeah, by the way, Tom Izzo will be on our show tomorrow at 7 a.m. So Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo joining the show tomorrow at 7 a.m. I'm hoping that Izzo has some nice Rex Road stories for us.
Me too, Rob.
I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see. A lot of the stories would be too profane to say on the radio, probably. I'm interested in finding out which media member he hates the most now. That's what I'm interested to find out. I got a few names I got to throw at him. Okay, who is annoying you the most on the beat these days?
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in says, I heard you guys mention Cam Newton earlier. Does Cam Newton have a job yet this year in the NFL? As far as I know, no. I believe Carolina said today that they are open to Cam Newton returning to their team. Now, what does that mean? And does that mean as a starter? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But apparently the Panthers are at least open and have not ruled out re-signing Cam Newton back there in Carolina.
More exciting news on the NFL front. The Saints have announced, or someone, I guess, at the owners meeting has said that Taysom Hill is purely a tight end now. It's sad news for some who really thought it was all going to come together for Taysom Hill, but now he can focus in and you know what? He's paid a lot of money for being an okay tight end in the NFL, but hey, good on him.
Are they trying to tell me that he's not going to get the ball in the backfield sometimes? He's not going to take a few snaps and throw that thing every now and then, because he's going to. We know.
I'm sure he will. But at least, you know, you kind of end the idea that at some point he's going to figure it out and be able to be a regular quarterback in this league. I mean, I think that we should all realize now that that's not happening.
It was always pretty amazing. Like, don't you think at some point, like, first off, it feels like Taysom Hill's been in the league for 15 years at this point. I know he hasn't.
He was like 28 when he came into the league too, by the way.
Yeah. It's amazing. But, like, at some point in the first couple of years, if you've not figured it out at the NFL quarterback position and you're not really playing the quarterback position, like, that's not a position where you just say, all righty, now's the time. I'm ready now. We'll give this thing a shot.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe sometimes, you know, players on the practice field are one thing and then they're different in games. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. We need to ask Adam Vingan. I'd like to know what Vingan thinks about that, and also how nervous he is that Carolina's going to do it to Kay again on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see. Don't want to be Vingan if they lose that game, that's for sure. Don't want to be in the crowd around Coach K if they lose that game either. Maybe another speech coming their way.
Yeah, while Carolina celebrates, he's going to make the entire, the entire stadium just shush while he
– Be quiet!
Yeah, yeah.
I have things to say.
Kristen told me this was still very acceptable.
It was very innocent with Coach K the other day, but he was doing like the post game interview after they won the game. And I can't remember which Duke player it was. They ran up and like grabbed him on the shoulder and just started like screaming the GOAT into the camera. And he was just like, shut up. I was like, this guy really likes telling people to be quiet. It's amazing.
Let me answer that. I'll answer that.
I feel like my impression is getting worse and worse. I need this to end.
You should do your impression for Izzo tomorrow. Ask him if it's pretty accurate. Coach K
impersonation? Yeah, he'd probably like that. He wouldn't laugh on the show, but he'd laugh afterward.
That's right. David on the text line says, New Orleans has been good to North Carolina with 82's Jordan shot and 93 game versus Michigan as well. Maybe a repeat coming up for North Carolina and New Orleans.
Well, and if they win on an opponent's horrific mistake, because you got the Fred Brown throwaway and you got the Chris Webber timeout. So, you know, if Banchero, dribbles it off his knee or something as he's going in for the game-winning dunk, then we'll know that it's about New Orleans.
Coach K calls a timeout when they don't have any. Just repeats Chris Webber. Be good stuff.
Yeah, That'd be an amazing way to go out. We can all hope.
That would be.
Except for all the casual fans out there who Dan Wolkin think are rooting for Coach K.
That was quite the take by Vol Twitter's favorite guy, Dan Wolkin, out there the other day. It's good stuff. People are just a bunch of Duke fans out here, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. So much more likable.
Yeah, really a lot more likable. Joe, big game for the Preds tonight, not necessarily in terms of who their opponent is, but this is a game where you need to win. They need to come out of there with 2 points tonight. Really need to come out of there with 2 points against Buffalo as well. I'm interested to see if Saros starts tonight. I think he will, so I don't know if there's going to be much drama there, but this is a game where the Predators need to win, and they need to really handle business tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, you need to be sitting there with four relatively pain-free points when you go to sleep Friday night. You know, that's a successful week. And maybe one of these games giving Saros a rest, maybe. I think there's a case to be made for that with what's ahead.
I think there is too. We'll wait and see what happens on that front and see if that happens maybe tonight against the Ottawa Senators. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.